Can you all hear me? Is it on? Well, good evening, everyone. This is my lovely bride, Melanie, right here. And then also, welcome, Melanie. Yeah. And then I'm glad she's here tonight. She doesn't always get to be with me where we go in spirit, but she's here tonight. And our little girl is back in the children's area, Peniel. She's 7 years old. We just got back from a trip to Swaziland, Africa. We get to about once a year travel together internationally. I go about 3 months. I guess over the past year, 3 months of that year, I'm sorry, 3 months of this past year has been in another nation. So we do local ministry and then international ministry. Do we have some slides up there? Is it going to work? Yeah, so want to say thank you to the Wallaces and the Rowers. These guys right here, they live out missional living. They're the real deal. I have great memories with these guys. We do international student outreaches, and they've hosted three of them. We do them once a month during the college school year. And my favorite one was Christmas about a year and a half ago. We usually have about 35 international students that come, and we had double that. It was the Christmas outreach. We had all these families show up, and I love these guys because they weren't stressed out at all. I mean, Jennifer's back there in the kitchen. Oh, it'll all work out. Everything's great. And Adrian's like, there's always room for one more. Come on, guys. We'll pack them in here. And We pulled the chicken out of the oven, and Adrian and Jennifer used to have a really nice glass table. We set that hot chicken on there, and it totally broke the table right there. Once again, Jennifer's like, oh, my table broke. Okay. Now, I have to tell y'all, if that was in my house, it would be freak out city, not the Wallaces. And I love these guys. They really do live out outreach, and really being a light in darkness. And so I'm thankful for them. Also, Justin and Erica, we've known them for years, and great memories of being in their home, also living out the gospel in front of people. A very welcoming home, always different people in their home. Been in many small group meetings there, and so these guys are great shepherds. So will y'all give the Rowers and the Wallaces a hand? Don't you appreciate them? So as Adrian mentioned, I lead a ministry called City for the Nations, and our mission is to mobilize the Church of Lexington to disciple the nations here locally and throughout the earth. Right here in Lexington now, we have one in five people is from another nation. 132 languages spoken here. For those of you that have went to UK or ever been on campus, every year there's 2,000 international students there from countries I couldn't go to. I couldn't even get into some of these countries like Saudi Arabia, Yemen. There's students from those countries right here at the University of Kentucky. So we've been given an awesome opportunity to reach them with the light and love of Jesus. And also we have refugees. There's about 2,500 refugees here in the city, and so you'll see a few of those. So this was an outreach we did Friday at Lansdowne Elementary. We've had 20 volunteers from probably about 8 different churches serving in a summer school for 40 refugee kids. So we've had volunteers serving in the classroom as well as teaching English to the refugees. Most of the folks that were in that class were Syrian women. Syria's been in the news a lot for the past 2 years. That country has been in a bloody civil war. Millions of people fleeing that country for their lives. We also have Iraqi, Bhutanese, Burmese, Nepali, Congolese, a bunch of Eases, right? Right here in our city. And it's a beautiful thing. We moved here 15 years ago to plant a church with the expectation of being sent out as full-time missionaries to go to Africa. And the Lord has kept us here. It's pretty cool what's been going on over the past few years. We also get to travel all over the world, but he's kept us planted here And at the time, I didn't know why, but now I totally know why. God was bringing the nations here. I like to put it this way. We're a basketball city, right? Anybody, I see one UK Wildcats shirt, but when I was a kid, this will give you a little bit of grasp on my years, but it was Air Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. Anybody remember those commercials? Nike commercials, be like Mike. Anyway, we didn't have, in those days, goals that you could lower. All right, now they have goals, you can lower them down. And, you know, I can slam dunk a ball on those goals. But what we used to do as kids is one of our friends would squat down and you'd run up and jump off his back and slam it like Mike. Anybody ever do that before? Nobody? Okay, thank you, Justin. It was dumb. I'm surprised we didn't get killed doing this. But I tell you, it's like that. The Lord is lowering the goal for us. He's making the Great Commission easy for us. He's bringing the nations here, and we have an awesome opportunity. So, love for you to be a part of that. Also, we do global ministry. I have a slide here. So, we raise up teams locally of leaders and business people, and we go to other nations, primarily raising up pastors in those nations to do church planting, evangelism, as well as we do some marketplace training for Christian business people. If you want to move to the next slide. This is the prayer profile for the country of Nepal. Last year, we did a conference called the Issachar Summit, and it was about reaching unreached, unengaged people groups. Unreached people groups, well, let me say this. There's about 12,000 people groups in the earth. The best way to look at people groups is like in our country, we have Native Americans. But there are many different Native American tribes. Each one of those would be a people group, like the Navajo, Apache, Sioux, just to name a few of those. In North America, there are 500 different Native American people groups. Well, now multiply throughout the earth all the different people groups that there are. In the nation of Nepal, there are 250 people groups. Last year at the Issachar Summit, people were talking about what it's going to take for us to complete the Great Commission. And one of the things they shared with us was that half of the people groups in the earth are unreached. That means 2% or less of the population of that people group is born again. If there is anybody born again, there's a very small percentage of them. And it's like a newborn baby. It needs to be cared for. The church is very young. And needs missionaries and workers to help mobilize and mature the church to where they can multiply church planting and evangelism. Well, there's another category that we focus on in our ministry, and that's unreached, unengaged people groups. So out of that 6,000 or so people groups that are unreached, there's also unreached, unengaged people groups. These are people groups with no believers. No church, no missionary. Most of them don't have the Bible in their language. Literally, outside of a vision from the Lord Jesus, there's no way for them to come to the Lord. So we're passionate about reaching these people, about mobilizing indigenous workers, sending missionaries to these people so they have a chance to at least hear the gospel. Because right now, they have no way. So, right now, there's about 1,300 of these unreached, unengaged people groups throughout the earth. In Nepal, a year ago, in May, there was 57 of these people groups, about 2.3 million people with no chance to come to Jesus. Bound in sin, bound in Hinduism, demonic powers, Buddhism, and also Islam are all religions at work in Nepal. But God moved in this conference we had last year, and there were opportunities given for people to sponsor Nepali church planting teams to go to these people groups. And through a series of events, God moved on the hearts of some key business people and some other folks in the city. And right here out of Kentucky, all these church planting teams were sponsored. It was a miracle. Over $1.1 million was raised to send church planters. So I had the pleasure of going and being with these church planters, training many of them. But I wanted to mention this. Melanie and I were at the Issachar Summit last year, and we heard about Nepal, and God had put Nepal in my heart for 3 years. I'd been praying about going there and taking teams as well. And at that event, we, if you'll back it up, there's a one other slide, one more back. There's that right here. This was a prayer profile card we received at the Issachar Summit. And Melanie and I, we prayed on that day for this people group, for laborers to go to them, for salvation to happen, for the demonic strongholds to be broken off of these people, and that there would be believers, or there'd be people come to Jesus from this people group. And so we prayed that prayer, and then we put that prayer card on our refrigerator. And every so often, as a family, we would pray for this people group. We didn't know what was happening, right? There's times you pray for people. There's times that maybe God will put a burden on your heart for a friend or a coworker or a family member, and you just begin to pray for them, but you don't always know the results of that. Well, we didn't know what was going on in the spirit, but God was moving. So I went to Nepal in February, and when I was there, you can move it to the next slide. I met with this man on your right. This is Bhuvan. He is a leader of a church planting movement that's impacting the whole nation of Nepal. In fact, they took on 38 of these people groups and raised up church planters to go to all of them. This guy is an amazing man of God, and I consider it a great honor for him to call him a friend. But the first day I was to meet him, we were going to meet over lunch, and he sent me a text saying, "Hey, Miles, I'm going to be late." Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not uncommon in other nations. They kind of go on a different time schedule. They have Nepali time. But now he said, "No, Miles, I'm not late just because of time. The Lord has opened a door for me to share the gospel and lead a couple to Jesus today. They've heard the gospel. People have been ministering to them, and they're ready to pray the prayer of salvation." I'm like, "Dude, be as long as you need, man. That's awesome. I wish I could have been with him." Well, he came, finally showed up for the lunch, and he began to talk about this couple. And guess what people group they were from? Out of 57 of these unreached people groups, they were from the people group that Melanie and I had been praying for. Isn't that awesome how God works? These were some of the first believers from that people group. And you can move to the next slide. So I got invited to a church to speak at a church in Kathmandu, brand new church plant. And I get there. This is where the pastors of that church. They didn't even speak English. Their daughter interpreted for me. And as we started talking, I come to find out this was the team of church planters that were engaging that people group. Isn't that cool how God works? So literally, these are the folks that are planting churches, doing evangelism, and leading the Kumar to Jesus. Now, there have been many, many Kumars come to Christ now. There's a church among them now. Many churches, actually, house churches, that have raised up just in the past few months. It's amazing to see what God does. And then finally, me and another businessman, a guy on our board, our ministry board, Anthony Humphreys, he was also in Nepal. And we met with this couple. We wanted to hear their story. So come to find out, their daughter had moved to Malaysia. And somebody in Malaysia began to share the gospel with her. It was in May the previous year. So literally, we figured it all out. It was literally when we started praying for this couple, their daughter was led to Jesus. She came back to Nepal and begin to share the gospel with her parents. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Isn't that awesome? This really leads into today what our topic of prayer. And for our remaining time, I want to encourage us and really call us to a higher level in our prayer lives and also in our expectancy of what God is doing when we're praying. Also, I believe that God is calling us to step out in new ways. I believe this is a great church, not because of a building, not because we're just here on a Sunday evening or there was great worship, although those are all awesome things or a message. This is a great church, not because of all those things. This is a great church because of He who lives in you is greater than he that is in the world. It's because of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in you that this is a great church. And that one that's within you can empower you to do the impossible. That's what the Bible says, that all things are possible for him who believes. So we're looking in Acts 4, 23 through 31. Our sister read that scripture already, so for time's sake, I'm not going to read it again. But the backstory leading up to this prayer, I believe this is a model prayer for us. I believe there's many scriptures that reveal to us models for prayer. But I believe in particular, this prayer is a model for boldness and to call out to God in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials. There is a response from the Lord for every spiritual battle we go through. For every weapon that's raised against us, God wants to respond. And we need to position ourselves for that response. But leading up to this scripture, Peter and John had been on the way to prayer at the temple. As their custom was, they would do this every day. And on their way, they were going through a gate called Beautiful. And there was a man begging. And it says that as they were passing by, Peter fixed his eyes on this man. And the Holy Spirit began to stir in Peter's heart that he wanted to heal him. He said to him, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And the man stood up. Praise the Lord. This really happened. Church, this isn't just a story in a book. It's not just a children's fairy tale. This really happened. A miracle. A man was lame and couldn't walk, and God healed him. He began to dance and leap. And then out of this, Peter began to preach. Now, we already know that 3,000 people had gotten saved on the day of Pentecost, but then it says Peter began to preach, and more people came to Christ. We know at the end of this, it said 5,000. The church was about 5,000. So somewhere between 2,000 people, somewhere around 2,000 people were at it. We don't know exactly. But it was a harvest based on this miracle. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were trying to stop the spread of the church. And it says they threatened them. They arrested them. They were in prison overnight. In the end, they couldn't doubt or they couldn't refute that there was a miracle. This guy was lame. Everybody had passed by him for years. This lame man. Now he was healed. Yet they tried to stop what Jesus was doing. Isn't that what religion, dead religion, tries to do? We need a living and active faith. We need a faith that we can pray for people that are lame and see them walk. Now I have to tell you today, for many of you, this is your first time meeting me and Melanie. But I want to tell you, these aren't just words on a page. The Bible says His word is living and active. That means there's still lame men walking. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, I have seen people that couldn't walk be prayed for and start walking. I've seen blind eyes opened. I've seen people with only a few days left to live be prayed for and cancer leave their body. I've seen deaf ears opened. Guys, this word is true. The Jesus of the Bible is empowering you through the Holy Spirit even today. I wanted to give a little testimony. This is my friend Pastor Zakes. This was a recent trip to Swaziland. We were just there 2 weeks ago, and we spent 3 weeks there. We did a seven-village outreach. We were in villages that have been forsaken by the country. Some of these villages, 50% of the people there have HIV. Swaziland has the highest percentage of HIV of any country. 27% of the population has HIV. It's terrible. 10% of the population there is orphans. These villages, prostitution, alcoholism, addictions, witchcraft abound. And that's where the Lord called us to go. So we had teams of missionaries, pastors, we had a medical team, and we went in there and we saw God move, and we saw 200 people come to Jesus there. Witchcraft was broken, addictions were broken, and this is a testimony of a witch doctor coming to Christ and how God showed up. Live in Swaziland. We've had 3 weeks of outreaches and also equipping pastors. This is one of the pastors, Pastor Zakes, right here from Swaziland. And him and I have been teamed up going to different villages and seeing the power of God. Pastor Zakes, would you share with us about the testimony of us going to your uncle's house, who's a witch doctor, and what God did there?
Wow, God have done a wonderful job there. I saw the move of God and His power, His Holy Spirit moving upon in my uncle. It was a great move and a very great experience of God doing that. And my uncle transformed himself to God and he received Christ as the Savior. And he also asked us to preach the people that were there with drinking spear and drinking a lot of marula there, a lot of beer. And we preached to the people and we saw God doing wonders there. People who were saved and people were healed. And my uncle was also healed. And the whole family have converted themselves to Christ. And it was a very great thing with Pastor Miles. Thank you to Pastor Miles. May God bless you, and may God really bless you, man of God.
Hey, it was a pleasure to work with you, Pastor Zakes. And man, we saw God move, and it really stirred in our hearts to go to all the beer halls. That's what they call them here, and yes, Preach the gospel. And you know, the enemy has held these places, but we went there and seeing God move, breaking addictions, breaking witchcraft. Really, in every village, the Lord would lead us to these places. And it's true that light belongs in darkness, and we've seen God move in power. So thank you for your prayers and helping send us here to Swaziland.
Thank you, Pastor Miles, too. And it was a great experience. And indeed, you have made me see that indeed God is alive.
Amen.
And God is real.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. That was an awesome move of God there. But we were on our way to meet his uncle. Now, painting the picture, his uncle is the witch doctor over that area. Also, at the same time, Melanie was ministering in the same area to another witch doctor. We didn't know it. She led that witch doctor to Jesus. It was really cool how God moved that day. But we were on our way, me and Pastor Zakes, to see his uncle, and I could tell he was struggling with fear. And he says, "Miles, we really need to pray." And I tell you guys, by the Spirit, this is what rose up out of me. I'm like, "Zakes, I'm prayed up. Let's go." Now, that there's a fine line between confidence, boldness, and cockiness, right? And Melanie tested me on it. Now, Miles, that sounds like, but honestly, it was by the Spirit that I knew God was going to move. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew He had equipped us to do this. So we went there, and man, there was no fight. I'm just telling you. Went up to his uncle. Zakes introduced me to him. I prayed for him, and the Lord touched him. He had a knee injury, and the Lord healed him, and he saw the power of God. And it was like he was fed up with all the witchcraft. Also, the local, now they called it a beer hall, but what it was homebrew under a tree. Let's just paint the picture right. And all these people were getting drunk under this tree, and there was probably about 25 people there. And so after I ministered to his uncle, his uncle took me by the hand. He goes, I want you to minister to these people. And I went in there, and you could feel just the darkness over this place. Now, I want to encourage y'all tonight. As believers, we're not called to just go based on what we feel. We need to go on what God's Word says. And that it's true beyond whatever I feel. Because, guys, I tell you, especially going into these villages and dark places throughout the earth, if I went based on what I felt, I would not get out of my hotel room when I go there. Because we're going into the enemy's camp. And it's the same way here. There's places that you've been called to go where the enemy is held. Drug houses. Bad neighborhoods. Homes that have been in bondage. That's where Jesus wants us to go and shine and bring his light. And I tell you, when his uncle gave me permission to preach there, I felt this presence. And I tell you, by the Holy Spirit, I said these words. Jesus Christ is here! Like that. And when I said that, I felt his presence flood that place. And every bit of darkness and the witchcraft, whatever it was, I'm telling you what, it didn't stay around anymore. Guys, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Do you know the power that's at work within you? Guys, I want to give you three things very quickly about prayer that we see here. It talks about that they were in one accord. Number one, guys, we need to pray in one accord. I know in this Acts series, you've already talked about Pentecost. And it says when they were in the upper room, they came to a place where they were in one accord. They were unified. The devil is afraid of the church that's unified. Even more than that, he's afraid of a church that's in one accord. So what does he do? He tries to plant division. He tries to separate people. Guys, we need to recognize the schemes of the enemy, as Ephesians 6 talks about. We need to know his plans and overcome him with the Word of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like to define revival as this. It's when we're all following after Jesus with all our strength, and we'll do whatever he says for us to do. Not just by myself, but when a company of people, when a church, when a small group, when we all say, we're all in, Lord. I'm all in. I'm putting all my chips to the middle, and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, Lord. Whether it's going across the street or going around the globe, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And there's such a hunger for his presence that you're hungry for his presence more than anything else. That means your prayer time is not just a task list. When you're reading the word, it's not just, I'm going to read my three chapters today and then, God, I've done my good thing. I've done my Bible reading. No, it's you look forward to that time. When you look forward to his presence, when you long for his presence more than anything else, that's revival. Guys, as Restoration Church, you need to hunger for his presence together and go after him. Guys, that's revival. We pray for revival many times, and we don't know what we're praying for. Really, what we're praying for is for us to be in one accord. Jesus' prayer for his church in John 17, 20, I'm praying not only for those, for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Jesus' prayer for us was that we would be one. There's such power in that. Now, unity, being in one accord, is not conformity. Hear this tonight, church. Some people think unity is conformity. But it's not. It's actually great diversity. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body of Christ, how there's all these different members. There's hands, there's feet, there's lungs, there's hearts. There's all these parts, and we need them all. You're all needed in the body of Christ, every one of you. God has fit you in this body because you're needed here. There's something you have to give that nobody else can give. God created you unique and special. There's people that you can reach that I can't reach. Hear this today. Our unity is really found when we honor one another and we honor Jesus in each of us. And we need each other. And we come to that place where we recognize we need one another. And we need to encourage one another to step forward in their gifts and what they bring to the body of Christ. And we need to celebrate one another. We need to celebrate the victories in each other's lives. We don't need to be jealous of one another or another person's gift. Our God is a good God, and He's placed special gifts in your life that you need to fan into flame and see used for His glory. I was in a prayer meeting in Niger, Northern Africa, a few years ago. It was my first time in this country. Niger is less than 1% Christian. 2 years ago, radical Muslims came through the capital city where I was at and burned down almost all the churches. The church there deals with persecution. The church there deals with some pressure that we don't deal with here. Now, we have pressures here as well, but their pressure is a little different. And I went to a prayer meeting. There was about 60 ministers there in preparation for a big evangelistic outreach. I want to tell you, I could hear the prayer meeting 3 blocks away. It was powerful, man. I walked into that courtyard where all these guys and gals were praying, and it shook me. They were unified. They were in one accord. It wasn't just the decibel level, although Africans like to pray loud. I love them. But there was this unity for souls. Unity to see the kingdom of God come here on earth. Guys, I hunger for that kind of unity here. That we would be in one accord for souls. Many churches are fighting one another. Many fights happen within churches because we're not focused on the priorities of Jesus. I've heard churches fight over some of the stupidest things. We need to be about the Great Commission. We need to be about the great commandment of loving Jesus with all our heart and loving our neighbor as ourself. Number two, pray God's word. In verses 25 and 26, they actually quoted a psalm. Peter began to quote a psalm. And it's interesting. He's praying to God. Yet he begins to quote this psalm. He's going back to the Word of God and he's reminding God of His promises. And also, this is not something new. It says, why do the nations rage? So the persecution and pressure they were dealing with was nothing new. And the Word spoke about that those who will live godly will suffer persecution. And Psalms talks about this suffering, the nations rising up against those who follow God. We need to pray God's word, and I have a sheet here for everybody today. I'd love for those to be passed out, but these are the apostolic prayers. These are prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed, and I use these as a guide in my prayer life, but there's many different prayers that are in scriptures that are a great guide and that are really an outline. There's the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 through 15, which is really our prayer. And you'll see all the apostolic prayers there. And then there's also Psalms 23, which is a great scripture and a great prayer guide. Even the Psalms overall are worship songs that aren't just meant to be read, but they're prayers and they're worship to God. Another great guide is Isaiah 58, when I fast and pray, I'll use Isaiah 58 as an outline. Talks about that the fast that the Lord has chosen. But the word is living and active, and it's powerful, and it can guide our prayer lives. I've used these prayers that are going around for several years, and they're very powerful of igniting our prayer lives and our intimacy with Jesus. And one of my favorites in there, I believe it's Colossians, about praying for open doors of ministry. I do a lot of prayer walking, and I ask for the Lord to open up doors into other people's lives, for the gospel to penetrate them. Number three, finally, we need to pray for boldness. In verse 29 through 31, Peter said, Lord, look at their threats. Look at what the enemy's saying. And answer. What are the enemy's threats against you? We all hear them. Maybe it's that you're not good enough, that you're an awful sinner, that God uses everybody else but doesn't use you. You're too old to be used. You're disqualified. You're too young. You don't have enough training. There's all kinds of threats that we hear. Some of you may even receive threats in the natural realm. I remember when I worked a secular job, I just put the Lord first. And if the Lord wanted me to share the gospel with somebody in my workplace, I would do it. To the point of, if I lost my job, I lost my job. Lord, you're my king. I'm going to obey you above man. Look at the threats. There's a voice of fear that all of us fight. God, respond to that. Are we settling for less than God's will for our lives? Are we settling for intimidation? Are we settling for the enemy's attacks? Or are we rising up in the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and overcoming every attack? Guys, no weapon formed against us will prosper. You have the Word of God in you. You have the power of the Spirit at work in you. God wants to use you to do great things, and He is. God wants to speak to the storms that are in your life. In fact, He wants to use you to speak to the storms. Are we living a life where the storms are speaking to us, or are we speaking to the storms? We need to call things that be not as though they are. Are we allowing circumstances to speak to our life, or are we speaking to the circumstances with God's promises? There are circumstances around us that are facts, but there's a greater truth of God's word. Some of you may be struggling financially right now. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. Are we standing on His word? Are we speaking to the storms? You know, this is not just a work of our will. Some people think that evangelism, ministry, stepping out and being used by God is just something that we do by our will. I've got good news for us tonight, church. It's not just a work of our will. That's why the Holy Spirit came. He came to empower us, to fill us with supernatural strength, with supernatural gifts and abilities to be able to speak to lame people in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. People that are tormented by evil spirits, I take authority over this in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave. That's what the Bible promises us. This is His word. It's not about willing it. It's about asking the Holy Spirit to empower us. And we're going to do that tonight. You know, after Jesus was resurrected, it says that He came to His disciples and He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. But then a little bit later, Jesus said to go wait for the promise of the Father at Pentecost. And it says they were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here in Acts 4, once again, they were praying. Same people that were there in Matthew after the resurrection. And then the same that were there at Pentecost. Now, once again, they're crying out to the Lord. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today. We need to keep being filled. Time and time again. Holy Spirit, every day I pray this prayer as part of Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. When I pray for daily bread, I'm asking for provision, but I'm also asking for the Holy Spirit. Baptize me fresh today. Fill me with your power to do the work that you've called me to. Amen? We need to be filled with him to overflow. Like my friend Jonathan Wilbur says, who's a missionary in a closed country, he says, we need to leak Jesus. When you're in love with Jesus, when you're filled with him, everywhere you're going, you're leaking Jesus out. It's not about just willing it. It's about receiving it. God responded. They asked also that they would, that the Lord would respond with signs, wonders, and miracles. God wants to respond. And it says, I love this, it says the place where they were praying literally shook. Imagine that. Imagine we're all here praying, and all of a sudden we all start feeling an earthquake right here, and it's just in this place. Wouldn't that be cool? That's quite a prayer meeting right there. God responding. But I love this because how many of you have been shaken by fear before? Been so full of fear that you're shaking. I've been there before. You know, for years I was tormented by fear. I can remember as a child, just tormented. Had to sleep with the light on all the time. Even into my teen years, tormented by fear. A spirit of fear. That's what the Bible calls it. And I knew I had this call to the nations. And one day there was a missionary that came to our church. And he was talking about all these powerful things, just like I'm talking about, stuff that God is doing in the nations. And I'm just sitting there, frozen in my seat, bound by fear, thinking, God, how in the world can I do what you've called me to do? And I'm dealing with all this fear. Anybody ever been there? You know God wants to use it, but there's this fear thing. Gosh. And I remember that day well. I kneeled down. I didn't even go down front. I kneeled down in my chair, and I'm like, Lord, I need your boldness. I need your boldness, Lord. I need freedom from this fear. And just then, like a shout, I heard boldness like that in my spirit. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit filled me that day with boldness. And I got up and I felt like I could run through a wall. I was transformed. Now I'm going to tell you, there's still times I struggle with fear, but fear doesn't have a hold of me. And I'm telling you, that boldness will send you wherever Jesus calls. That boldness rose up in me a few weeks ago to minister to a witch doctor and to lead a bunch of people to Jesus. This last video here, I want to show you all this. This is one of those bars that we ministered in. Those were people giving their lives to Jesus in the bar, in the place the church wasn't going. I had Swazi pastors with me, and they wouldn't go to those places until that day, and they saw people come to Jesus. I want to invite the prayer or the band to come down. I'm going to ask y'all to stand to your feet. I believe this is a special day for this church. This isn't a special day because I'm here, but I believe it's a special day because His Spirit is working here. And I believe there is a great call on each of your lives. Now, I don't know what that call is. I know what the Bible says. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So hopefully preaching the gospel is part of that. He said for us to go into darkness, be a city on a hill, shining bright. But each one of you have a special call in your life. I want to take a moment. I want to pray. I'm going to pray in particular against the spirit of fear. A spirit of fear that's been holding you back. A spirit of fear that's been intimidating you from you stepping into your calling. Now, it may not be for everybody today, but I believe today God is releasing a spirit of boldness here for everybody. There's a new boldness that God wants to fill you with for His work, to reach those that He loves. Just like those people in that bar that were drinking. Some of them were drunk that day. Yet in that place, the Lord sent us to share the good news of His love and His compassion. That even in their sin, Jesus loved them. That they just needed to repent and turn to Him and believe. In the same way, God wants to send you to people. Will you bow your head with me? Father, I pray right now. In the name of Jesus, I feel your presence here. I feel your empowerment here. I feel that same spirit that I felt 21 years ago when I said, Lord, I've got so much fear and I need your boldness. So church, if you're here today, brothers and sisters, if you're here and you're saying, Miles, you know what? I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with intimidation. I want to ask you in your own words, just say, Jesus, I give that to you. Jesus, I give you my fear. I give you intimidation. I give you that, Lord. Others may, maybe you're struggling with an area of sin. The Lord wants you to surrender that to Him tonight. Repent and turn away. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to walk in freedom. Lord, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for freedom in this house. I bind the spirit of fear and intimidation and lies of the enemy. I break its power now off of your children, Lord. I pray for freedom in this house. I pray for freedom in minds. I pray for God thoughts above every lie of the enemy. Lord, I thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. Your promise that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I speak that over my friends today. I speak a sound mind in this place. I speak deliverance in this place in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your people stepping out in new ways. Creative ideas. God, I thank you for your boldness coming by the power of your Spirit. I pray even now, Lord, that you would fill us. Just in your own words, just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you fresh. He's here. He's here right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and fill us. We invite you to fill us fresh with the new wine of your Spirit. We receive it, Lord. I pray for those that are walking under discouragement. I pray for the joy of the Lord over you today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In Jesus' name, I bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask those that are praying down front here. We have a